The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to We the People Radio with Phil Cundiff, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. Hey there, Bob. How's it going?
Hey there, Bill. Outstanding.
Outstanding.
How are you?
Well, you know, I'm just I'm peachy keen. Aaron's busy on the phone contacting our guest. Got a good show lined up for you today. And if you want to join the chat today, phone number is 530-605-4567. Or join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And who's our guest today?
Well, we have Ron Eckel scheduled. He's proving a little elusive at the moment, but...
I heard you trying to get a hold of him over there.
I think Aaron has an update for us.
Not really.
Or not.
My update is I have no update.
I love it when I hear you leaving messages.
No, it wasn't a message. I got a human. Just the wrong human.
Oh, no.
I just got the wrong human.
Didn't want to be on the air, huh?
Well, I got Laura, who is his helper or scheduler or whatever she does. So anyway, yeah, I got Laura. She's nice. She's available.
Does Laura know anything?
And the fun never ends. You know, it's funny. I always ask people for a backup phone number. You know? Oh. She's like, oh, he'll call in. I go, yeah, you know, that's nice, but I'd like a phone number. Mm-hmm. So I got that.
Stuff happens.
I did. I got that, but that phone number goes to voicemail, so yeah.
Yeah, that was a handy number.
Yeah, it's a handy number. So I can tell you, well, let's see. I've got some fun stuff. Hold on here. I'm writing a phone number trying to talk at the same time. I turned into you.
Oh, no.
I can't write the phone number and talk at the same time.
I can juggle.
Hey, well, just to update people on our veterans thing, just on our friends Kristen, well, specifically Kristen, back there in Philadelphia. It's been, she's been having a wonderful time as a whistleblower. And for those of you who haven't tuned in on any of those, let's see, when did we do those shows? So they were April, May, I think, because I met her, I met her end of April, so her programs were in May. And she's at the Philly VA back there. We'll call it the embattled Philly VA just for...
Yeah, they're going through some stuff back there, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got some ridiculousness. I think if you just searched Philly VA scandal, you'd probably get some pretty creative things. They're the ones that had... one of the managers was inviting her subordinate employees to the assistant director's house.
Oh, for a seance or something.
Yeah, because his wife thinks she's a psychic medium. Yeah. So they had to go in the kitchen and give her $35 so she could give them.
And that's a great deal there. Come to my house as a guest, and it'll cost you $35 to get, and we're going to keep the money, and you better show up or else your duties next week are going to be altered.
Yeah. Wow. So if you look up Philly VA psychic, you'll get it. Psychic medium party cited in removal of VA managers. Well, they haven't removed them yet. But the latest deal is the HR director has been tweeting about Kristen being a piece of crap, you know, but she used the other word. And
well, being a psychic, though, it's a good thing because they'll see it coming.
Well, no, they should have called the psychic because the psychic wasn't involved in this one, and that's my phone.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Sorry, I'll be hanging up on whoever that is.
Yeah.
So anyway, the latest is they're tweeting about Kristen, and the gal tweeting is Laura something starts with a G, and her Twitter name is at Lena_G148, and she said, no, it's not me. It isn't me.
It's someone
else.
Someone hijacked her account.
Except her house number is 148, so they're thinking it's probably her.
Wow.
They're not very smart. So we have Rod with us?
We do.
We kind of do. We do, we? For real?
Nice.
Nice. All right, so let's shift gears. Let me shift gears.
No psychic required.
No. We don't need a psychic for this one. Well, good afternoon, Rod. How's it going?
Good afternoon. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we like your tagline, the coolest, most politically incorrect conservative black man on the planet.
Oh, I like him already.
It's not even in the country. It's on the planet.
Yes.
So that's a lot of pressure, I'm sure.
I don't like to think it's pressure. I think I try to put a little bit of funniness in with the truth, and it makes people at least pay attention.
We like funniness with our truth. Absolutely. Big fans.
So it just came because I've had people tell me that in the past that, you know, well, geez, you just don't back down, do you? You just tell it like it is, and that's the way I was raised, and yes, I do. So that's how we came up with that moniker.
Well, I think that's awesome. Well, your dad's a 21-year Air Force veteran, so I would imagine you had a fairly squared-away household.
Yeah, we were. My sister and I were, I like to think that we were raised with good old-fashioned values. And neither one of us regret the type of life that we had as kids. It was a lot of fun, actually, but we got to see a lot of things that most people just don't get to see or experience. And, it was just a different way of life, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, it looks like you've traveled extensively with your family.
Yeah, we did, and, I've experienced good things and bad things outside of this country. For instance, being in grade school, elementary school, and having to board a bus because we lived off of base in Athens, Greece, for instance, where we boarded buses that took us to school. But those, at that particular point in time, because of what was going on in the world and what was going on in Greece and in Turkey, we got on board buses that had fully loaded police officers, military police. And the flak jackets, everything. So, and as a kid, we did not only the fire drills, but we did bomb drills as well as nuclear bomb drills. And nobody out there in the civilian world understands what a bomb or nuclear bomb drill is. They look at me like I have two heads. Well, yeah, we had to do all that kind of stuff.
Well, I don't know. When I was in grade school, of course, I'm probably giving up my age a little bit, but
Bill's old.
We did duck and cover.
Duck
and cover, because that was going to save us from a nuclear bomb.
Okay,
as long as you got your head covered and you're under your school desk, you'll be okay.
Yeah, we're in our 50s, so yeah, duck and cover. Yeah, they thought the school desk was going to save us. Well, wow, that's a loud drink you brought today. So you broadcast out of New Hampshire. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Concord, New Hampshire.
I love New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's where I broadcast out of. It's where the whole show originates from. It's the capital of the state, and it's kind of in the middle of the state. And it's a good place to be. I really love the state to death, and I don't plan on leaving it anytime soon.
Nice. Well, we should tell folks how to get a hold of you. We have all that on the webpage, wethepeopleradio.us. So if you're, driving or doing something you can't write, go on there and you can see all Rod's info, but it's Rod Eccles, ECCLES.net, which is easy.
Yes.
Very simple. And let's see, tell us about your show. You are live, I have here on Vigilant Liberty Radio, Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. from 7 to 9 Eastern Time.
That's correct.
Nice.
And I try to cover a wide range of topics, anything that's basically in politics, pop culture, current events realm, I'll usually try to cover and give my take on it as well as deliver the news about that particular subject and really go into it and tell people what it really means from a logical perspective.
Yeah, instead of that mountaintop experience we get on the mainstream media, just the little tips right there, and then we just move along and obsess on
nothing to see here.
Caitlyn Jenner, or something else of grave importance. Good Lord. So, all right. So, give us, Bob. Should we take a break or what are we thinking here? I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah, before we get too far.
I was going to lure Rod into something where I was going to have to cut him off, which is not nice. Rod, we'll be right back with you. We're going to take a really swift break here and thank our advertisers. Give you a second to gather your wits here, since we interrupted your day. Let's see.
All right, I'll be here.
Thank you.
So for all of our listeners out there, wethepeopleradio.us, it's got the archives, it has all of our programming and easy ways to get a hold of us if you have ideas for shows or sponsorship. We'd appreciate it. Be right back. Moving to your neighborhood, they take over, but Kind of a good theme song for you, Rod. A little fight the powers that be. Hey, I was reading on your website, rodeckles.net. I was reading you do quite a bit of writing.
Yeah, I do. I write a weekly column or post that appears in a number of different online publications.
Yeah, your latest was The Liberal's Early Light. I didn't ask you if you'd chat about it, but since you just wrote it, you could probably chat about it.
Well, there is actually, I think there were two articles that were posted this week.
Yes,
but that one, you know, what I try to do in all my writings is basically just pick a particular topic that might be a little out in the public arena at that particular point in time, and really try to delve into it and let people know what the other side is, the real conservative constitutional view of that particular issue is, or what it should be. And I try to be also a little bit most motivational, because I know a lot of times that, you know, Republicans get a little bit discouraged by what happens in the electorate. So it tries to be a little bit motivational at the same time, give them a little bit of an uplifting piece to read. Because I'm all about positivity, if that's a word. I like being more positive, and I don't like the negativity. I don't like when Republicans bash other Republicans. Unless it's rightfully so, but usually it's just so they could try to boost themselves instead of being more positive. And because, you know, we're supposed to be a party, an alternative party to the status quo, which is the Democrats. We're supposed to be more uplifting, more positive, because we're supposed to be about the Constitution and the people of this country. And let's face it, this Constitution and the people of this country are very uplifting.
Yeah, you know? And people do, you know, let's face it, all day long, you don't spend 95% of your time with people who are in the life sucks and then you die mode. You know, most people flee from those people.
Yeah, but that seems to be where a lot of the talk shows have gone lately.
Yes, it's
just,
and the
you
news
turn it on
like,
and you just get beat over the head for 2 or 3 hours and walk away feeling like, you know what?
Well, we watched the local nightly news just because we needed to know something, and we stayed on past the first story, and it was like, oh boy, if people are watching this every night, good luck. It's bad. So, yeah,
it's terrible.
I think that the left typically is angry and loud. And, I mean, that's kind of their moniker, is angry and loud. And it's interesting, a segment of the right is trying that out at this point. Are you noticing that where you live, too?
Yeah, they're trying to be a little bit angry. You know, you're absolutely right about the left. It seems like the more victories they get, the angrier they get.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that means that maybe people shouldn't get what they want, because then they'll just be totally ticked off about that they're getting what they want. They don't really want it or something. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it looks like that there are some that are trying that on the right. Well, maybe we should be able to, if we get this type of thing passed and the Supreme Court, you know, says it's okay, then maybe we should be angry too about that because we'll want more. I'm not exactly sure if that's the way to go, because that's what the left is doing, and they never seem to be happy about anything. Even when they have a victory, they seem to get more and more angry and more militant. I don't think it works.
Yeah, I don't think it does either. And the folks on the right, I mean, I think that the reason that we, you know, regularly lose, or, you know, historically, there are times when we really kind of fall into the shadows, and I think it's because we feel the battle's won. It's time to, you know, go have a cookout or hang out with our family or work on our job, or, you know, we don't drill it every day like the left does. The left never gives up and never goes away, never takes a break.
No, it doesn't matter how far they're defeated. They don't give up. And we tend on the right, like you said, you know, we we tend to, when we get a victory, and it's a substantial one, we tend to go back to what we're supposed to be doing, which is working, raising our families, running this country, making this a great nation for our children and our grandchildren. And sometimes when we put our head down to actually go to work and do that, that we don't notice what the left is coming back and what they're doing. So by the time that we lift our head up again, we're like, well, I thought we defeated this before. This is an ongoing process. And the only way that we can continue to win is to continue to defeat the left in the arena of ideas. They don't have any ideas, by the way. They have the same old ideas that have been proven to have, that don't work. So all we have to constantly do is just make people aware that, look, these ideas have been tried before. They've obviously failed time and time again, over and over again throughout the history of mankind. We don't need to try that again because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
The ideas of the right, these ideas have worked for nearly 250 years in this country. So why would we want to change that?
Why do you think why do you think people keep going back to that, though? I mean, they continually vote these people back in that, you know, want to follow that same old game plan
that
never works.
More big government programs, you know, more.
You know, it is a type of human nature, and the left is very good at playing people off of one another. Something that begins with a J, jealousy. Now, if you always notice, you always hear the left talk about the rich this, the rich that, and the rich have taken this, and rich have taken that, and their only suggestion or solution to the rich is to overtax them. And you get your average person, you know, your middle class and even your lower class, it says, yes, yes, we should tax them. They should be taxed more. But nobody ever stops and thinks, okay, if I take more money in the form of taxes from this so-called rich guy, does it end up in my pocket and make my life better? The answer to that question is 100% always no. So if that's the case, then why would you be okay with telling somebody that you're now classified as rich, so we're gonna tax you more? And that's simply because the left is very good at being divisive, separating us, and making us jealous of somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, but the part that's interesting is some of these very wealthy people absolutely fund this program, for lack of a better description. Why do they give them their money? All these guys want to do is take it. Is it because they know they're really never going to get it?
They, you know, well, there's a thing that says, well, you know, if I'm a rich guy, I'm not a bad rich guy. See, I give to these causes. I agree, you know, they should tax me more. But that's all on the surface, on the face of it. But when you actually look into to all of these people like Barbara Streisand and Tom Cruise and all those guys who talk about, well, yeah, the rich should be taxed more, they spend an awful lot of money on accountants and lawyers to pay the least amount of taxes they possibly can. Look, if they truly agreed with the fact that they're under tax, they wouldn't try to pay as little as possible.
No, you're right.
You know, it's all this notion of trying to look like they're the good guys, when in reality, you know, we talk about, well, who are the real racists? Is it the Republicans? No, it's the Democrats, because they're the ones that are always trying to separate us by race. And you're talking about the rich people. Who's really for the rich people? Is it the Republicans or the Democrats? Well, it's really the Democrats, because they're the ones that think that the rich are the elite, and they're the ones that pay the least amount of taxes. So whenever you see something about, they don't pay enough taxes, the rich don't. If you look at breakdown of their party affiliation, you will see that it's the liberal elite rich that pay even the fewest amount of taxes versus the Republicans. So I'm just throwing that out there. And, you know, this is not stuff I'm making up.
Yeah,
this is stuff you can just go to the government websites and get this information all yourself.
So my guess is that their tactic is, if you just say something that's untrue enough times, people will stop questioning it. Because otherwise, I can't figure out why they keep doing it.
Yeah. It's the old saying, if you tell a lie often enough and then with enough conviction, it will become the truth.
Yeah. I mean, in lots of instances, I think it's working. It's funny, I was listening to progressive radio on the Sirius, XM Sirius, last night on my way home, because I just like to torture myself.
And I kind of want to know what they're talking about. And this guy was ranting on and on and on about how global warming is absolutely proven. There are no scientists. He said, no, none. No scientists who dispute that fact. And I thought, well, huh. We've had some on.
Yeah, don't get me started.
We've had some on our show.
Don't get me started on global warming. Well, he's not really, really lying on that, because if you're a scientist that doesn't believe in global warming, then you're not a real scientist.
That's true. That's
true. He's kind of not lying about what he's saying is that there are no real scientists out there in the world that do not, that think that global warming is not real.
Oh. Well, I'm glad I brought that up, because I was really struggling with that. So I was driving along in the dark, screaming in my truck alone.
But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, somebody who once supported global warming, and, you know, he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner in physics, I do believe, or something like that. You know, a very prominent scientist who's now saying, well, geez, Obama and everybody else has got it all wrong about global warming. In fact, he just basically says there's no such thing as man-made global warming.
Yeah, and that got huge... huge airtime, not.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on. Actually, I read it. Did you ever hear anybody cover that?
You know, people there. Well, no, you're not going to get the mainstream media to cover that. Absolutely not. It's going to, you know, be anybody that's willing to step outside of the liberal media's mantra machine, they're not going to get coverage. You know, they may get a blurb here and there, and then they'll make fun of them and dismiss them. And then toss them aside, and that's the last you'll hear of them. But you know, this is the playbook of the left constantly. If you're not on their reservation, you know, they'll mention you in passing just enough so they can make fun of you and dismiss you because they're superior to you, and that's what all superior beings do to the lesser beings. They just dismiss you.
Yeah, that is about the long and the short of it. I really would like to hit next segment here. I would love to chat with you a little bit on the whole, you know, Ferguson and Baltimore and all that. I mean, because it would be remiss on my part, actually, to have the coolest, most politically incorrect conservative black man on the planet and not ask him about that stuff. Because you get to say all the things we want to say, so we want you to say all that stuff so we can listen and, you know, clap for you here on this side of the line. so that's what we'll be doing in the next little segment here. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Rod Eccles for the next half hour, the most conservative black man on the planet. And there's more to that, but you'll have to go online to read it. Be right back. Record that song and do politics at the end. Oh my gosh. You're rejoining We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We are here with Rod Eccles of The Rod Eccles Show. You can find him at Rod Eccles, ECCLES.net. And lots of good info there. You've got previous shows, but a lot of written material as well. So there's quite a bit for the listeners and the readers. You could be either one. All right, so Rod, what's the scoop with all this crazy, you know, God, we've had 6.5 years of, you know, we're all, everything we don't agree with what makes us all racists, and all the divisiveness and all that. What's your spin on all that?
You know, you're right. We've had, you know, six and a half years of somebody who's supposed to have united all the races. You know, if we elected this guy, we were told that that would be the end of racial, you know, unrest in this country. And basically what we ended up getting is a leader, a president who has probably done more to divide races in this country than anything before probably the Civil War, quite frankly. And this notion that you know, I hear a lot about, you know, Black Lives Matter. Well, yeah, and if you say that all lives matter, you're a racist. Well, if you don't agree with this president's policies, well, you're a racist. Well, forget the fact that, you know, if he had a policy that was just like Bill Clinton, and you were against Bill Clinton's policy, but now you are a racist because it's Obama's policy, you know, he's a black president. Forget the fact that, you know, we were also told, well, if you don't elect this guy, then it proves that this nation's racist. Okay, so we elected him. Okay, if you don't reelect him, it proves that you're a racist. Well, how can that be? We don't like his policies. Well, you don't like his policies because he's black. Well, then we wouldn't have elected him in the first place. Well, no, you're still a racist then. Okay, so that no matter what you do or say, especially if you were a white person, if you do anything that goes against the so-called liberal mantra, you are going to be a racist. Even if you stood against that exact same policy that was introduced by a white politician. But now, because it's a black politician, now it's not because you're living by your convictions. You're doing it because you're a racist.
Yeah.
And you know, you see it with the Confederate flag. You know, I'm so sick of hearing about the Confederate battle flag. No, it should not be flying above government buildings or offices or whatever. It shouldn't have been up there in the first place above those. But if you're a private individual, I don't hear anybody talking about banning a Nazi flag or a Cuban flag or Cuban T-shirts, you know, or I've even seen people wearing new T-shirts and flying the old Soviet Union flag.
Yeah,
we're not talking about banning those either. But all of a sudden, because the Democrats, who are the ones who actually put up the Confederate flag, now because they say it's a bad racist thing. Oh, now it really is.
And the Dukes of Hazzard, we got to get rid of them. You know, because the Dukes of Hazzard were always super political.
mean, that Daisy May.
That Daisy May with her politically correct outfits.
Yes.
I mean, you know, got to get rid of a TV show. I think you have some, like, wind blowing in your phone. Not you, but wind in your world. Are you in a windy place?
Am I a windy place? New Hampshire, not generally speaking, but...
Well, it sounds like there's some blowing in your phone because you cut out periodically when you get, like, windy noises.
Well, okay, I'll try to do a little better, but speaking of windy places...
We just didn't want to miss anything.
If you're talking like windy city like Chicago, well, that's kind of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I live just north of a very blustery state.
I grew up in Connecticut. I remember vividly. But so how do we end all that? You know, because now I suppose if we don't elect Hillary, we hate women. You know, now that we've set this thing in motion.
You know, I was privileged enough to have a conversation with Dr. Alveda King. Now, for most people who don't know who that is,
right on.
She is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. Yes, that Dr. King who had a dream. And I asked her specifically, do you believe that we are closer to your uncle's dream or are we farther from it? And her answer, she says, Rod, let me tell you something. Me and our family, meaning even Dr. King's kids, we believe that we're closer to his dream than ever before. Sure, we have many problems and we still have a ways to go, but we have moved past. I mean, can you imagine? I am sure, you know, she was saying that I am sure that my uncle could not have believed that in less than a generation, in less than a 40-year period, we would go from just gaining civil rights to be equal to electing a person of color to the highest office in the land. You cannot tell me that we have not made advances in race relations. And she's absolutely correct.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't ever acknowledge that.
You're not going to get them to acknowledge it, because if you did, they would also have to acknowledge that they were not behind this movement for equality in the first place. It was Republicans that helped pass the Civil Rights Act. It's been Republicans that have, you know, on more than 90% of the issues of being first in something in government. It's been a Republican administration or Republican president that has done it. Even when the Democrats had the opportunity to do it first, they didn't do it. It was a Republican that did it.
That doesn't get much airtime either. So what do you say to people? You know, because do you get the same thing we do? Do they call you a racist too?
They usually call me a racist until they find out that I'm black, and then they say, "You're Uncle Tom, or you're a sellout."
Yeah, yeah, well, that's what I was.
You don't know what you're,
I was wondering how awkward is that? You know, yeah, you're a racist. You're all, no, I'm black. Do they fight with you over it?
They do. They tell me that I'm not a real black.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what that means. I have been told, well, you're not a real black person.
You should give him your dad's phone number.
I've lived in the inner city. I've gone to inner city public school number 31 in Buffalo, New York. I know what it's like to live in the inner city in the ghetto. I'm not divested of that. I fully know what that's like. It's when you understand what's going on in your so-called, quote unquote community, and you point out the problems with it that these people are not getting because they're being sold a bunch of goods and they're buying into it. It's, you're kind of like the messenger that, and what do people always want to do? They want to harm or hurt or kill the messenger.
Sure. Yeah. Cause it's faster and easier. Then we don't have to have a real discussion about it.
Yeah, because then they don't have to face, where they have probably been wrong or what they've been missing, and they don't have to try to change anything. All they have to do is sit back and complain and spout off a bunch of sound bites all the time without really getting into depth in it. So if you have somebody who comes along and says that, well, okay, let's talk about this so we can actually fix it. And we've had people to do that, and those people who are complaining about everything say, fix it. Oh man, you don't really want to fix this. Well, yeah, we do. Let's sit down and really figure, not just talk about it, come up with solutions. No. All we want to do is talk about it. Basically what they're saying. They don't want solutions to fix it, because if they actually fix it, then they would have nothing to campaign against.
Yeah, that's true. What does Alveda, what does she say what is she seeing from her, because she travels a lot and talks to people all over the place. What's her take on all this? I guess, where are we headed?
she's an amazing woman. And she sees a lot of, because she does travel and she does speak all over the place. But she sees what I see. She sees that there are a number of people, blacks included, that are not falling for this typical, stereotypical type of division. And that they're moving past that. And they're trying to get to a point where if you really want to be a colorless society, both sides have to say we're not going to recognize color. It can't be this notion that black lives matter, and then you get over here and say, well, all lives matter. Well, no, you're racist. Well, either all lives matter or all lives do not matter. Which is it? It can't be one or the other, because that in itself is a racial separation type of statement.
Right.
And there are a lot of blacks, too, that try to move past that, because they understand, look, there is a fast-growing segment in the Republican Party, and I don't think the Republicans appreciate this enough, is that blacks are coming back to the Republican Party where they were before the passage of civil rights in 1964. That's another thing that Dr. King said. She said, oh, yeah, my uncle was a Republican, by the way. but they're coming back to this conservative notion. They're trying to, because they've seen these Democratic policies totally devastate the minority community, totally devastate the minority family, and replace it, the family unit with government. Government led by white people that claim that they care, and all they want to do is instill more devastation and more harm and more separation. Now, if you're really a government official that wants to help people, what you really should be saying is, how can we move you to a point where you do not need government services anymore? That is what they should be saying. Not, yeah. Well, let's, we need more and more programs. No, we don't. We need less programs because we need to be able to wean ourselves off of all your programs.
Yeah, because generation after generation, it was interesting when I was a kid living just outside of downtown Hartford. That was during busing. I was born in the early 60s, 61. And so, you know, it was all during the busing thing. And they would bus kids in from the inner city. And we were all super curious about, you know, well, why were we doing all that? I mean, we didn't know. We were kids. And, you know, nobody cared. No, nobody cared. We didn't have any riots at our school. Nobody was like, oh, these people, you know, we had a lot of Puerto Rican kids, a lot of black kids from the inner city. And nobody minded. And life went on. It just was no big deal. And I look back on that and I think, gosh, you know, we really missed all of the angst of a lot of this stuff just because we were busy being kids. And our parents didn't care. You know, they were good with it. But those guys, still, I've been back since, and downtown looks just the same. It didn't help. It didn't help pull people up, you know, or give them better education or more. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But it's like a failed experiment, I guess.
It's what I have found, it's not all about actual equality, because if you're looking for equality, you want to treat everyone equally so that you believe everyone can be put on an equal footing. What the liberals are actually telling me every time they say, well, we want to help you, is that they do not believe that blacks have the intelligence or the wherewithal to make it without them.
Oh, wow.
And that's when you bring that up, yeah, when you bring that up, man, they bristle with anger at you for that. Well, how can you possibly say that? Well, because you're telling me right now that unless I believe what you're telling me, that I'm a sellout and I don't know what it's like to be black. And that's just a ridiculous notion. I do not need a program for me. Look, obviously, I'm a conservative, and I have a conservative radio talk show. Obviously, I didn't use a government program, especially a liberal government program, to do that. Now, I am sure that someday they will probably, you know, say, well, if you don't use this kind of program, then you can't do this. But until then, you know, I every time, if you don't use a program and you become a success, then you're like a Clarence Thomas and, you know, you're just denying your heritage. No, I'm not. I'm saying that we're smart enough, just like any other ethnic background or any other race, that we can do for ourselves better than you can do for us.
Yeah, that's the part I never understood. And then the multi-generational, I don't know how that is. I mean, obviously, the purpose of most of the government things is to control people. And what better way to control them than to determine their economic place in life. But you see, like, you know, multiple generations. What are we into? 3, 4, 5, you know, on the welfare system.
Right.
I mean, what a horrible thing to do to somebody to keep them at that point. You look at the cities that are run with these policies, you know, keeps coming back to Chicago, Detroit. You know, if that kind of stuff worked, those cities would be flourishing.
But do you think people are going to be willing to give that up and go back to, you know, basically working for a living when they've been, you know, for generations, they've been helped by the government and they expect it now?
That's the $64,000 question.
That's what Greece is right now. I mean, they've been handed so much over the past couple of decades that now that they're broke, they don't want to give any of it up. There's got to be another way to do it, you know, as long as you don't take it from them.
Don't mess up their 3-day work week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, once you give it to people, it's very, very difficult to take it away.
Yeah, what do you think, Rob?
It's a generational type of thing that it takes a generation or two to establish something that's devastating and harmful. So it's also going to take a generation or two to establish something that is more beneficial and helpful. So yeah, we have this mega welfare state that we're going to have to wean people off, and there are going to be people that are going to be angry. There are going to be people that are going to be upset and feel that they were, you know, mistreated and not getting what they were promised. But at some point, it begins to turn around, and people see that, you know, they're doing better than they were before. And that it's the uncertainty that scares people at first. Well, you know, if you're a welfare recipient and you're receiving For instance, you're getting the SNAP card and you're getting $200 a month for food stamps, and all of a sudden that $200 a month has to go away, and you're thinking, well, where am I going to replace that? Okay, well, how about you get a job that allows you to spend $400 easily every month on groceries with no restrictions from government? You know, you can't spend, you can, if you want to buy steak, you can buy steak. If you want to buy lobster, you can buy lobster. There's no restriction with your own money. And you can spend twice as much. How's that for you? Oh, well, once they get that, you see, that's better. The problem is that the left doesn't want them to see past what they're being given. Oh, Republicans only want to starve you and take away your SNAP program, your $200 a month. No, we don't want to take away their $200 a month. We want them to be able to earn $400 a month. How is that a bad thing? Liberals don't want to get to that point.
You know, I had a guy, we have to take a really quick break, or we're having some problems here at the station with the Wi-Fi, actually. So we have folks having a little crisis online. We were having a little crisis in our chat room. While we were chatting with you, we were having a crisis.
Couldn't tell, could you?
No, we were like, meh. We're going to reboot things on the break here. But, you know, I really want to know, I spoke with a guy the other day who was just, I talk to people all the time who say the same thing, actually. So he was one of many. Fit to be tied that Republicans aren't getting the message out, or the not Democrats. So whether they're Republicans or just not Democrats, but they're not getting the message out and they're not making their case heard in the broader sense. And I mean, I think we all realize there's a media problem, but when we come back, maybe we could chat about that. Some ideas maybe on how we could do a better job with that. Especially headed into next year, because Lord knows we don't want the narrative controlled for next year, or we'll be in 8 more years of, well, we'll all be wearing that hammer and sickle thing, and it won't be a problem anymore. It'll just be our flag.
Hey, we might have Donald Trump for a president. Hey, you're fired.
Wouldn't that be great? Every agency, you're all fired. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Rod Eccles, and we'll be right back. There you go. Another possible theme song for you, Rod. A little politically incorrect. Grammatically incorrect, too. But, you know, hey, we won't get all tangled up in that. You're listening to We the People Radio.
Nah.
Yeah. Why let that get in our way? We are here with Rod Eccles of The Rod Eccles Show. The coolest, most politically incorrect, hence the song, conservative black man on the planet. So, you know, you heard it here first. Or maybe you heard it on his show first. But we're going to hog it up today. You're hearing it here. So, Rod, what do you think going forward? How do we get this message out? How do we overcome the, lame stream? I guess that's the easiest way to call it, the media. That, you know, when a reporter actually asks the president a hard question, it makes its own news. That's a damn, that's a bad sign.
You know, we live in an age that is unprecedented. I mean, you can be your own media conglomerate empire if you want to, because the internet allows you to do that. So what the Republicans and conservatives need to do, they need to learn how to use social media, the internet, as it were, as well or better than the Democrats. And, you know, Obama was very good during his first term. He was very good at using the internet at getting his message out. That's what the Republicans have to learn how to do. They're going to have to bypass the lamestream media. Because a lot of conservatives aren't even paying attention or listening to the lamestream media anyway. They're not watching, you know, MSNBC mess. They're not watching ABC, CBS, NBC. They're not watching, you know, CNN, the Clinton News Network. But they're not watching a lot of that liberal crap. But they are paying attention to social media. They're going to social media news sites and non-news sites. You know, they're looking at and reading the stories and commentary on you know, even publications like the Washington Times. They lean more conservative than liberal. So that's where they're going to have to go. That's where they're going to have to get their message out. And they're going to have to also rely on good old-fashioned face-to-face conversation, which means that, you know, they're going to have to get out there and pound the pavement and actually talk to people and groups.
And not be angry and over the top and, you know, I mean, they're going to have to get people to do it in a way that people will listen to them.
Exactly. That's how they're going to get their message out.
Hey,
that's
Rod.
That's how people are going to, yeah.
We are, believe it or not, with all this craziness, we've got 5 seconds left. So, bottom line is you have to come back.
So, I would love to.
Yeah, we're going to force you to come back. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much for taking an hour out of your day. And we're going to make you take another one out here shortly. We'll get a hold of you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. We've been talking with Rod Eccles from The Rod Eccles Show. You can find all his information on the website, wethepeopleradio.us.